Today, the thoughts the Lord gave me were so encouraging to me as I was meditating on them. Till I'm glad to share them, and I trust you'll be blessed as well. The thought I have here today is overcome evil, love, joy, and peace. You know, the Lord was so faithful. He didn't leave any stones unturned. Jesus didn't. And he helped us that when he was going to go away, he prepared us for the things that we would face after he was gone. And he let us know how to deal with things of life. So if we live life, we're going to have some evil days, so to speak. They may be in different forms. It could be someone's way of handling us. We've talked about that. Or it could be some sickness. It could be many, many ways that evil come upon us. But a lot of times the evil things that come upon us come through our relationship with other people. Some things that people do and say can feel like evil to us. And they can be evil because some people will maybe do things deliberately. And some may not do it deliberately and not even know what they're doing. But the Lord gives us a way to overcome it. He doesn't want us to get down under it. Let's go to Romans 12 and read verses 19 to 21.
Romans 12, 19, dear love, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Do you have an enemy? Do you have someone that maybe seem like they don't really care for you that much? You might speak to them and they may speak to you, may refuse to speak to you, or may not care about you, may not even want to be in your presence. You had that? Well, yes. We don't want to allow those things to overcome us. God gave us a plan and a way to overcome evil. Those things are evil to us. It says if they're your enemy hunger, what does it say to do? Feed them. So, and one scripture, Jesus says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So we can do that. God gives us that. But you know how we can do that? We can't do it in ourselves. It takes God in us to be able to do it. If we live for God, he will help us to overcome evil. We can live for God. If we give our heart to God, he will help us to overcome the evil, not be overcome of the evil. We don't have to go around, woe is me, or feel like life is just treating us so bad. But if we bask in the goodness of God, he will give us authority over all of those things. There's a way that we can be able to overcome these things. And the most important way, the most essential element that we need to have is divine love of God. It takes the divine love of God in our hearts to help us to overcome evil. One of the things in the scriptures he teaches us to forgive. Somebody do something wrong to you, forgive. How in the world are we going to forgive people that do wrong to us? We can't do it in our natural human nature. It's going to take the divine love of God. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and start at verse 4. In 1 Corinthians, the divine love of God in that scripture is called charity. Charity. And charity, when it is in our hearts, will help us to overcome the evil things that come our way.
Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things.
So charity gives us that, doesn't it? It gives us the ability to bear all things, to hope all things, to believe all things. And one part of it says, thinketh no evil. When somebody do things and it just might not seem like the right thing, charity will help us to have a positive attitude. Well, maybe they didn't mean any harm. This is what charity, or the divine love of God, helps us to be able to do. So, this is why we need to have the love of God shed abroad in our heart. If we go to Romans, we'll come back to this one later. Romans 5 and 3 to 5. When we give ourselves over to the Lord and get saved, we can go on deeper in God and in the things of God. When we do that, the Lord will fill us with His Spirit. We can ask the Lord to fill us with His Holy Ghost, with His Holy Spirit. And when He does, He gives us the love of God, the divine love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. It's not just a little portion, but it's shed all over our hearts. And it gives us the ability to deal with hard things, deal with people that are not very nice to us. It helps us to forgive them. It helps us to do these things that Jesus told us to do. If your enemy hungry, to feed them. Because you're going to have love in your heart that makes you want to do something good for them. You're not going to be all bogged down on what someone else did to you. But you're going to have so much love in your heart that you're going to try to do good to that person despite of what they did to you. And if you see them hungry, you really, from the heart, want to feed them. If you see them thirsty, you from the heart want to give them drink. You want to do for them. If they need clothes, or if they need something, shelter, whatever, you want to do these things because of divine love of God in your heart. Did you get Romans?
Romans 5 and
3 through 5.
And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
So you see, he said, we glory in tribulations. How can you do all of these things? It takes the divine love of God in your heart to make you be able to do these things. So we are blessed when we live for God because He gives us the ability to overcome the elements, the things that are evil that's coming our way. And we don't get down under. Jesus tells in his word about how to work with your enemies and how to deal with evil things. And in Luke 6 and 27 to 35, we want to read what Jesus said for us to do.
Luke 6 and 27. I say unto you, which fear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to read that. We're going to read it a little slow. The first, it says, love your enemies. It takes God's divine love, doesn't it? Can't do that on your own. The human nature is not going to love his enemy. He's going to hate his enemy. But Jesus gave a different perspective. Before he said, you have heard, love your neighbor, hate your enemy, or something like that. But he had a new commandment. Love your enemies.
Bless them that curse you.
Bless them that curse you. Do you remember in the scriptures where David was saying this man was cursing him one of his men say he wanted to take off his head or whatever. He said no. He said maybe God told him to curse David. So we can love them. We can bless them that curse us. It takes God's divine love in our heart for us to do that, though. Read on.
And pray for them which despitefully use you.
Have you had anybody just look like they just, every chance they get, they're trying to figure out a way to use you? There's plenty of people like that. He said, pray for them. Don't walk around saying, well, something's going to happen to them. I'm just watching. If you just watch, they're going to get their pay, right? No, but pray for them that despitefully use you.
And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other.
That takes the divine love and power of God. If somebody hits you on one cheek, to turn the other one. But it can be done. God said it, Jesus said it, and it can be done.
And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid thou to take thy coat also.
So you're not only going to let him take that away from you, but you're giving him something else. We can't do this on our own. But God can. Through God, we can do it. This is how we overcome evil. These are evil things that happen to us, people doing evil to us.
Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again.
What a challenge Jesus has given us to be able to allow people that do things against us and they take something away from us and then not to go and ask them. It takes God to do that. But this is how we overcome evil. That's how we don't get under evil and it doesn't push us down. God didn't intend for us to allow the evil things that happen to us to get us down and make us feel worse me or even feel sorry for ourselves. But he wants us to overcome it and lift above it. And we can do this if we will be filled with his spirit and with the divine love of God. We'll have the strength and the power to overcome the things that come our way.
And as ye would that men do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, What thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again.
You see, the Lord is helping us to go to a deeper level, a higher level in Him, and a deeper depth in the things of God, to where the things of this world are not so valuable to us that we get all worked up and distraught over people taking things, or even people borrowing from us. Some people really hate for people to borrow from them. If you ask them for something, they might give it to you, but grudgingly. But God wants us to be willing to give. And to, if somebody want to borrow from you, be a willing giver to them. One scripture says, freely you have received, freely give. So, if we want to be like Jesus, if we want to be an overcomer, then we need to follow the pattern that Jesus gave us in how to handle other people, how to deal with them. Let's go to Luke 23 and 34. But really, in order to do these things, and people do things to us, we must have a forgiving heart. And in order to do that, it's going to take God's divine love for us to do it.
Luke 23 and 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots.
He not only told us, but he set the example. He told us what to do, but he set the example. They were killing him. He was being crucified. And on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them. I thought about how that he didn't just say, Father, forgive him, that them. That was major. But he said, for they know not what they do. He gave a reason. It was like making an excuse, saying, please forgive them because they're not responsible. They don't know what they're doing. He gave a reason to forgive. The same example we see in Stephen. When Stephen was being stoned to death in Acts 7 and 60, I would like us to read that. He did the same thing. Instead of saying, threatening them. Jesus could have threatened them. He could have called 10,000 angels. He didn't have to stay on that cross. It was his love for us that made him stay on that cross. But also, he loved the people that were crucifying him enough to ask the Father to forgive him. Would you normally ask God to forgive somebody if you didn't love them? No. Jesus, that divine love he had, he's given to us. We'll be able to do the same if we just get closer to him and deeper into him. We'll be able to say, Father, forgive them, even when they do something terrible to us. Acts 7 and 60.
And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep.
Stephen, if you read the story of Stephen, these people were stoning him, they were talking, he was trying to reason with them, and they said they saw his face as the face of an angel. So even though they were coming against him, and even though he was trying to reason with them and all, he did not get out of character. He did not get angry and look mean and think of, I know God is going to take care of these people. It wasn't that. But he knelt down. And when he knelt down and he cried with a loud voice. He didn't just barely cry. Can you imagine? His life was being taken out of him at that point. But yet, with all the strength he had left in him, he cried. It was like, I really want God to forgive them so much. He used all his strength and he cried with a loud voice and said, lay not this sin to their charge. That was love. That was love for him to be able to do that. And so we want to think of what it takes to overcome evil. Love, the love of God, is one of the main element to help us to overcome evil. But then also joy. I was thinking about joy, how that when something happens to us, the best thing for us to do is to start praising the Lord. Not feeling bad, not holding our head down, not saying, well, it's me. But praise the Lord. Let the joy of the Lord flow in spite of what's happening. I believe the Lord can bless us to have so much love and so much joy when people do us wrong. All we can think of is, I want to do something good for them. God wants us in that place. So joy. One scripture says, and I'm going to see if I can find it here. Hold on. It's the joy of the Lord is your strength. I don't know where it is right now. But the Lord gives us strength in troubled times when we allow the joy of the Lord to be in our hearts. Instead of being overcome of problems, instead of having hate or anger or wrath, we need to have joy. So the power of God can help us to have love for hate and joy for anger and wrath. And he can give us peace also for confusion and strife. All of these things that come upon us, we don't need to get under it, but we need to give to those circumstances some of God. Some of Jesus. If we have Jesus in our heart, we can give to those people that do wrong some of Jesus. We can pour out love to them. We can show joy in the midst of the angry person or the angry. One scripture said, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Grievous words stir up anger. But when we are in those kind of circumstances and people are talking bad to us and using bad language or talking down to us, we can give a kind word instead. We can give love instead. We can have joy in our heart. Now, I think if a person is railing on me, I don't think that for me to start laughing and praising God would be the answer. Where does that praising God be? In our hearts, right? Because they would resent it and they would feel like we're trying to mock them. We don't want to do that. But we don't have to get up under it. Our face can stay like Stephen's was, as the face of an angel. And we can have the joy bells of salvation ringing in our soul despite of what's going on around us. I want us to think of Joseph. You all remember the story of Joseph? Joseph was hated by his brothers because he had dreams. And those dreams, as he would share them, they seemed like that he was saying that one of these days he was going to rule over them. And so they resented him. they could not be, they just couldn't deal with him. Let's go to Genesis 37. So his dad one day sent him to go see about his brothers. They were out in the field taking care of the animals, the sheep or whatever kind of animals they had. And he wanted him to go and check on them. So he went. Joseph was 17 years old at the time. He went to check on them. And when he did, they saw him a good ways off, and they were very ready to destroy him.
And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast has devoured him, and we shall see what become of his dreams."
So they didn't like it. Another thing that made them not like it too was because Jacob favored him, and he made him a coat of many colors. So they envied him. But they were ready to take his life. Let's read on.
"And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, 'Let us not kill him.'"
So, but Reuben decided that he didn't want to see them kill his brother. So he tried to make a plan to spare him.
"And Reuben said unto them, 'Shed no blood.' And it came to pass, when Joseph was coming to his brethren, and they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him to a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. And they sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels, bearing spices and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, 'What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him.'"
Okay, that's good. So they sold him, and years went by. Actually, 13 years went by, and they had a famine in the land. And Joseph went through many things in Egypt. He suffered many things. He was a godly man. God was with him. But because of various things happened, well, one thing, where he stayed, his wife wanted him to do something that he wouldn't do. And for that, he got put in prison. So Joseph had to suffer a lot of things from age 17 and all the way till he was 30. Finally, after 13 years, the Lord blessed Joseph to become next in line with Pharaoh. And there was a famine in the land, and Joseph was over the food, passing out food. They had, I'm trying to make a long story short. They had collected all this grain to last during the famine time. So Joseph's brothers came. And when Joseph's brothers came, they didn't know Joseph. But he knew them. And they were bowing down to him just as his dreams were saying. And he kind of tested them, and he would give them food, the grain, and then he would put his cup in there, and they would have to bring it back. Different things happened. But finally, Joseph could stand it no longer. And he had to let his brothers know that he was Joseph. And so he did. When he did, he cried because he loved his brothers. And he was made known that he was Joseph. And everything went okay. He told them that you can ask for his father, how's his father? And if he come, he wanted to bring them there and he would take care of them and nourish them. This is what Joseph said. But his father finally died. And when his father died, the brothers began to be afraid. And they said, I didn't write the scripture down, so I'm going to have to tell you. They said, well, you know, Dad is gone now, and Joseph may not be so favorable to us. And they were afraid of him. And they tried to encourage him and said,
50 and 15?
Yeah.
And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren for their sin, and for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the service of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brothers also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear not, I will nourish you, your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them.
See, he forgave them. It was God's love in him. He loved his brother in spite of what they did. He had to go through 13 years of being away from his family because of them. And yet he was willing to forgive them. And not only so, he not only wanted to forgive them, but he wanted to nourish them and help them. And I think about it. This was before even Jesus came. If he could do that, much more should we be able to do that for others, those that offend us, those that hate us, and those that do evil toward us. I think about it's Nehemiah 8 and 10. I want you to read that scripture. Because in that scripture, it helps us to know that we can have joy to overcome the evil things that come our way. But it takes living for God. It takes getting close to God to be able to do that. We can't do this on our own. I say that over and over. Many times we might want to, but Joseph was living for God. God was with him. And so he was able to have that kind of forgiveness and love and be able to overcome the evil that came to him. We can do the same.
Nehemiah 8 and 10.
Yeah.
Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared. But this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
So if you can't do anything, let's bask in the joy that God gives us. Let's allow the joy to come up in our heart. When things look bad, let's don't dwell on the bad. Let's dwell on the good and the blessings that we can get by being a child of God. God gives us that. He gives us joy. In Galatians 5 and 22, we find that joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Look at all these good things that we get by being in the, by having the Spirit of the Lord. Faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. We can have as much joy as we want. And the Lord wants us to have joy in spite of what happens to us. Let's go now to James 1 and read verses 2 to 4.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing.
Can you do that? Can you count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations? When things are going bad, can you count it joy? You can count it joy. You don't have to be, like I was saying, trying to provoke people, you know, laughing and all that when things are not going good, but you could count it in your heart, joy, when we fall into diverse temptation. Let's go to John 15 and 11. St. John 15 and 11. I'll read that. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. You know, the Lord wants us to have joy. He doesn't want us to get down and walk around like we're forsaken, because we're not. You know, when we live for the Lord, we're not forsaken. We can always know that he's there with us no matter what. Even if everybody else forsake us, the Lord won't forsake us. Let's go to Proverbs 17:23. Count it all joy. So when you, the next time you have a evil situation, or someone is speaking evil of you, or someone is treating you in an evil way, count it joy. Because God is going to work something in you. He's going to work something good in you. If you live like this, God is going to make you flourish in this world. You're going to be happy and you're going to be free. You know, you can be happy and free in spite of what somebody else think of you. If they look down on you and they think you dirt, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can praise the Lord. You can have joy in spite of it because you have Jesus with you. Thank the Lord. Did you get that?
Proverbs 17 and 23.
Mm-hmm.
A wicked man taketh the gift out of the bosom to pervert the ways of judgment.
So I must have written that down wrong. But anyway, it's all about having joy. Let's go on now. The last part of this is peace. To overcome, we have love, we have joy, and we can have peace. I want us to think about Job. Remember what happened to Job? What did he do?
Suffer.
He suffered severely, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what did he do? When all of that happened, when we read about Job, we realize that he was a perfect and upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. We realize that he was a man that prayed daily. He was praying because of his children. He thought that they might be cursing God in their reverie. And then all these things happened to him. I count that as a shock attack that the devil did. Because it was like one thing happened, and before they could finish talking about one that, another, and then once that happened, just, have you ever had the devil come upon you like that? Maybe one thing, one person died, then another one died, or another one is sick, maybe in a family. One child gets sick, then another gets sick, the mother gets sick, the daddy gets sick. You know, those kind of things happen. The devil just try to push you down, and he'll let all kinds of evil things come upon you. Well, Job, instead of him cursing God and die, or saying something irrational, he bowed down and worshiped and said, what? Blessed.
He blessed God, and he said, anything that's given, basically given to him, will take away. The Lord giveth, and the Lord takes away.
Right. Naked came I into this world, naked shall I go out. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. What did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can bless the Lord, like that other scripture said. When divers temptation come, rejoice. So we want to be like this. We don't want to allow any of those things to get us down. And now let's move on to Isaiah 32, and we're going to read 17 and 18. Because we are his people, in spite of what happens to us, we can live peaceably and peaceful.
Isaiah 32 and 17. Okay. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever.
You see that? If you live for God, you can be at peace even when things are not peaceable around you. But it says, and the effect of it is quietness and assurance forever. And there's another scripture that says, my people shall live in a peaceable habitation, quiet resting place. Let's go to Matthew 5 and 6. What does he say there? I think some of you children could probably quote that scripture. Does anybody know that scripture? Matthew 5 and 6.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness.
Oh, no. I must have hit the wrong one. Is blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called.
Verse 9.
All right, read it.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God.
Blessed are the peacemakers. We, as his people, are peacemakers. We are peaceable ourselves, and we try to make peace with others. When you have the Lord in you, you don't like confusion. You like peace. And if a situation looks very strife, you're not satisfied with it. You want to do something to make peace with your brothers or with your neighbor or whoever is being distraught with you. Let's go to James and read chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. So having the peace of God and having the Lord in our heart motivates us to strive for peace in spite of what may be happening. It makes us to want to make peace.
Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. But where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceful, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown of peace, of them that make peace.
So here we are. We are his children, and we are going to be peaceable. We're going to sow our fruits in peace, and we're going to make peace among others. We will not be allow ourselves to get caught up into bitter envy and striving. Let's go to Titus 3 and read verses 1 and 2.
Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men.
See how we do? We're going to be peaceable with them. We're going to be gentle. We're not going to be argumentative like that brawler. But we're going to be peaceful in our conversations and in our way of handling other people. And even though somebody else is full of arguments, we don't have to enter into that. Let's not do that. Let's make peace. Do the best we can to make peace out of every circumstance. The last scripture is Psalms 37 and 37.
Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace.
Today, we've looked at different ways that we can be perfect before God and be able to overcome the evil that's around us. Whatever happens, we can handle these things in a perfect way and in the way that the Lord will be pleased, and the way that we can be an example of righteousness here in this world in spite of what's going on. Pray for me.